G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Well, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Give me an oi when you're there. All right. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." Now that's a long chapter. I don't normally read sort of that much of the scriptures, but I wanted us to get an idea of where this is all nestled into, and we will refer to this. So keep a mark in this chapter. We're going to flip to some other areas, but I'm starting a new series today, and I've really been looking forward to this. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this is not, there is going to be, you know, like obviously I'm going to be teaching about the gifts of the Spirit, but it's not going to be as much in-depth theology as it's going to be. The purpose of it is I want to activate people to move in the gifts, to flow in the gifts. There's a lot of things that I've learned. I'm not an expert on this by any means, But I have come away, and I've grown in this, and I've learned from great men that, you know, Joy and I have had the privilege of serving under. Apostle Garnet Budge opened our eyes to the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. I'd never been up close and personal with someone that just moved with power and authority like this man did, particularly in the revelation gifts. And I'll explain what that means a little bit later. I did have privilege of moving like with an evangelist that had tremendous power gifts in his life and saw just great healing. So, and that kind of opened me up. But it was Apostle Garnet that really opened our eyes and began to teach us about not just what the gifts of the Spirit are, but how we can cooperate and flow in those things. And I just believe it's the timing of God for our church. This is the next thing. You know, remember we looked at the circle of life, and the idea is that we believe, you know, for Joy and I, we believe that the call God has on our life is to present each one of you perfect in Christ. And that word perfect means mature. And that's what the circle of life is about, is to bring us through different things to mature us, to cause us to grow. Hey, and through it, I believe God has given us a pathway that we can help develop people and so on. And so I'm looking forward to this. I'm not sure how long we're going to go. It'll be at least 5 weeks, possibly 6 or 7, depending on how we go. I don't believe it'll be more than 7 because there's other things that we need to get to. So some of this comes out of, it all comes out of the Scriptures and what I see in the Scriptures. But some of this comes out of personal experience, things that I had to unlearn. There were misunderstandings that I had, things that I had to relearn, and things that I discovered and understood. And I'm excited. Hey, I'm excited to see you begin to take a hold of this. And in our home groups, when home groups resume after the school holidays, we're going to be doing a lot more practical in there. You know, like there's no way I can cover everything that I would like to cover even in the 7 weeks. So we'll kind of, like in the home group situation, we will look at the back end of this and look at things that I just can't cover on a Sunday, but that are still important. And the emphasis in the home group will be to practice it, to activate it and get it going, because that's the desire. It's not for me just to teach you what it is so that you've just got more stuff in your head, but it's for it to come into your heart and understand, hey, we need this in our lives. We need this in our church, you know. And I there was a period of time where, like, probably last year and even earlier this year, there was a frustration because I was thinking, God, why aren't more of our people moving in it? And then he just showed me one day, he said, you haven't taught them. I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. You know, like, if you don't know what it is, then how can you do it? And we had to be taught. We had to learn. It was Apostle Garnet. Like, I knew what the gifts of the Spirit were, but it wasn't until this man of God, and then others too, with that, added onto it, that he opened our eyes and showed us how to flow in this. And it's not that hard. I could preach a whole message just on this. You are a spiritual being. And I didn't understand this, and I don't want to spend a lot of time saying this. I just want to say just some things. For a long time, I was trying to be something I already was. I was thinking, I need to get more spiritual. But how can you get more spiritual than what you are? You are a spiritual being. You're born again. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. You're one with Jesus. It's like, you know, like if I, you know, was walking into the Hyperdome and I saw Anthony there and he's concentrating and I ask him, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm just trying to be Anthony. I'd sort of be looking and be puzzled, like, you are Anthony. Instead of trying, you know, like, you don't try to be something you are. You just be. But it's understanding, well, how do we activate then there? It's not a difficult thing when you learn, right? And you guys have already started to do that. You, like, you flow into worship so easily now. And that's a real key, because that worship is a gateway to get into the Spirit. And then when you're in the Spirit, it's easy then to flow. But anyway, so we're gonna look at these things, and I know we'll go into it more. So I want to bring your attention there to verse 7. That is a real key verse. Hey, there's a lot in that one verse. Hey, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And there are three things I want to bring out from this, and I'll probably spend most of the message just talking about these three things. Number one, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. Number two, it's given to each one. And number three, it's for the profit of all. But let's look at them one at a time. Hey, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are a manifestation of the Spirit. You know, you can't see the Holy Spirit. I should correct that. You can't see with your natural eyes. Joy has seen the Holy Spirit once. She saw him. She has the gift of discerning of spirits. And so we'll talk more about that, you know, probably next week or the week after. And with the gift of the discerning of spirits, you can see in the spirit realm. And I remember we were at Garden City one day, and Jim Williams was preaching, and Joy leaned over to me, and she said, "I can see the Holy Spirit." I said, "Where?" And she said, "He's standing behind Jim Williams." And I said, "What's he look like?" And she said, "He looks like Jesus, but I know it's not Jesus." And I said, "What's he doing?" And she's describing to me, she goes, he's just pointed over to the right. And just a moment after she said that, Jim Williams pointed to the right. He said, "There's someone over here," and he began to prophesy and stuff like that. And then she said, now he's pointing just over there in the center. And then Jim walked over there and went and ministered and prayed for someone. But you can't see him with your natural eyes. You can only see him with the eyes of the Spirit if he allows you to see him. Hey, that's why the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit. Because while you can't see him, there's evidence that he's here. And one of the evidences that of the presence of the Holy Spirit is the gifts of the Spirit. They are manifestations of his presence. There are other translations that sort of bring that out. It's the same verse, but in the God's Word translation, it says the evidence of the Spirit's presence. The New Century Version says something from the Spirit that can be seen. So the gifts of the Spirit are something from the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like, remember Jesus said, the wind blows where it will. You can't see it, but you can see the evidence of it. The gifts of the Spirit are evidence of his presence. And so it is manifestation. And all of these, there's nine gifts that are listed here, all of them are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. All of them are supernatural in nature. All of them are things that there is no way you or I could ever accomplish in our natural abilities. Every one of them are completely supernatural and beyond our ability to do. Yet God enables us to do them and to flow in them. Okay. So these gifts of the Spirit, they're in a category of their own and they're supernatural in essence. Now the second phrase there, it doesn't say just the manifestation of the Spirit. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Do you realize you have been given at least one gift of the Spirit? Now, this is something that I was wrongly taught. And for years, this wrong teaching in my life inhibited me from flowing. So over the next few weeks, I'm really going to deconstruct this, because this is something that really put me up the wrong path. And it can lead to a lot of confusion. And I'll explain that as we go. Hey, you know, some people claim that we shouldn't say we have certain gifts, because, you know, that can be prideful. And besides, it's up to the Holy Spirit to give out the gifts. And that's what I was taught. You can't say you've got any gift. That's up to the Holy Spirit. He's going to distribute. Yes, it is up to the Holy Spirit. He is going to, but he distributes it. And there are gifts that you have. Every single believer, I don't care how old you are in God, you have at least one gift of one of these nine you will have. Some of you will have more than one. And certainly, like, those who are called into the ministry will have several of them. Right? You understand that there are ministry gifts that are different. These are spiritual gifts. Well, the ministry gifts are spiritual as well. The ministry gifts are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Some people call them the fivefold ministry. Right? Now, that's a calling, and I don't want to go into all of that. Maybe we'll talk about that at home group a little bit. I might just mention a little bit of it a little bit later. But a person who has a call of God on their life to the ministry will be equipped with several of these gifts. And depending on the nature of the ministry that you're called to, there will be certain gifts that God will equip you with. Hey, an evangelist is not going to have the same gifts as a prophet. And a pastor won't have the same gift as an evangelist, and so on. So anyway, but just talking about here in verse 7, it says, you know, these gifts are given to each one. It says the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Everyone say given. It's given to each one. Yet I was taught that, no, you can't say that you've got a gift. You know, we shouldn't say things like, I've got the gift of healing. That's what I was taught. Because only God can heal. Well, yes, of course only God can heal, but he wants to use you and I. We're the earthen vessels that he puts his power into. And he'll flow through us. We've got nothing to boast about when we move in the gifts of the Spirit. They're the gifts of the Spirit. We didn't earn those gifts. We didn't work to get them. We can develop in them and get more proficient in moving in them, but you can't boast about it because it's not from you. It's from God. But we can say, I've got this gift, and it's not a prideful thing. It's just admitting, yes. How do you know if you've got certain gifts? And certainly we're going to open this out and look at it over the next few weeks. But there, as you grow in understanding and learning in these things and learn some of the things that I'm going to be sharing, you're going to find that there are certain gifts you get used in often. They're gifts that you can quite comfortably say, yes, that's a gift that I have. For me, the word of knowledge is something that comes to me quite often. Prophecy. Comes to me quite easily, right? And I get used in them often. With the nine gifts, I believe that I was thinking about it yesterday, and at least seven of them I know I've had experience in operating them, but there's probably only about three or four that I'm operating in quite regularly, all right? And you're going to find in your life there will be at least one that you'll find you'll start operating in. But don't leave it at just that, hey? You should be desiring to move in all of the gifts, and God will use you at times. You know, we read about how we are all members of the body. Now, different members have different functions. Is that right? You know, like in my hand, because I've got a hand, I can pick up this microphone. But let's say I'd injured this hand and it was hard to carry this. There are other parts of my body that can do the same function temporarily. My armpit. If my hand was injured, I could temporarily use that. You might be an armpit for the glory of God. And so just because you're an armpit, and you might think, well, you know, no, I'm not meant to carry anything because I've just got BO or whatever, you know. No, believe God to move in all of the gifts. Eh? And certainly says that right the last verse, it says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. Eh? And we will talk more about that a little bit later. But this idea that we can't, you know, you shouldn't be saying that you have a gift was just something that just pointed me in the wrong direction, and I found it really difficult. You know, like, and I guess, you know, people that were teaching it were coming from the place that were saying, look, it'll just go to your head if you say you've got certain gifts. No, it doesn't have to. If you understand that the gift comes from God and doesn't change who you are, well, then it doesn't have to go to your head. In fact, when I've operated in the gifts of the Spirit, if anything, it just humbles me. Particularly the more prominent the manifestation, the more powerful it is, I'm clearly aware that, man, that wasn't me, eh? That was just all God. Man, that's awesome. And so it just, you know, it humbles you, hey? Do you remember, I think I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, remember Balaam's donkey spoke to Balaam? Did it change the donkey? Like after the donkey stopped speaking, had it changed? Had it now sprouted wings and become like half angel, half donkey? No. It was a donkey before it spoke, and it was a donkey after it spoke. When you move in the gifts of the Spirit, it doesn't change who you are. Only the fruit of the Spirit changes who you are. Hey, and bearing the fruit. But the gifts of the Spirit, they're just gifts. You know, it's kind of like, you understand what I'm talking about with the fruit of the Spirit. You can look that up in your own time. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. They're a deeper work. They're things that have to do with your character. That's love. and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness. I've heard some people say, and I'll probably talk about this more maybe in a future message, but I've heard some people say things like, well, you know, we don't need the gifts. We got the fruit, you know, as long as we've got love. Well, look, love is more important. I believe that, but we can have both. God doesn't tell us pick one, and you better watch out which one you pick. I'm watching. He doesn't do that. We can have both. Yes, God is more interested in who you are than what you can do. The gifts of the Spirit is all about what you can do. I can prophesy, right? And the Bible talks about this. I can prophesy and it can impact someone's life, but if I don't have love, it'll benefit them, but it won't profit me. Right? And so the gifts of the Spirit don't change who you are. It's only your relationship with Christ and the fruit that you bear that begins to change who you are and stuff. But the gifts are still important and they're really good. Hey? So let's look. I want to show you some scriptures that really undo this idea that we can't say that we have certain gifts. Look there in verse 30. You're still there in chapter 12. It says, do all have the gifts of healings? Now, what's the answer to that? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do they? The answer is no. Not everybody has the gifts, right? In fact, if you look earlier, like in the scriptures, in verse 8, it says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. So not everybody gets the same gift. To another faith, to another gifts of healings. So not everybody. And then so later in verse 30, when he says, do all have the gifts of healing, what is the answer? No. Do all speak with tongues? What's the answer? No. Do all interpret? What's the answer? No, the answer is no, not all do. But I want you to notice, like, what is the implication here? Okay, not everybody has the gifts of healings, but that implies some do. Not everybody has it, but some do. Not everybody has the gift of speaking in tongues. We will talk, there'll be a two-part message probably where we'll talk about speaking in tongues and prophecy and the utterance gifts, because there's so much confusion about that. But what he's talking about here is he's not talking about you being able to speak in tongues and just pray with God, but it's exercising that gift in the church. And so we'll look at that. So here it's quite obvious. The implication is, yes, not everybody has the gifts of healing, but some do. Not everybody has the gift of speaking in tongues in a church service, but some do. Not everybody interprets, but some do. And so you may be one who has the gift of the interpretation of tongues. You may be one who has the gifts of healings that operates in your life. And so let's stick with what the Word says rather than what people have opinions about. Do I hear an amen? Now, you can write this down. Have a look at 1 Peter chapter... Actually, yeah, we'll look this up. 1 Peter chapter 4. Keep your place in 1 Corinthians 12. Chapter 4 and verse 10. Give me an oi when you're there. So it says, as each one has received a gift... Notice it says, as each one, it's talking about believers, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Here Peter is writing to believers and he says, every believer, each one has received a gift. Now this cannot be a ministry like a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor, because not everybody has that gift. It's not like everybody in a congregation will be either a teacher or a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor. No, they're ministry gifts. But every single believer has a spiritual gift, a manifestation, one of the nine that are listed in 1 Corinthians. And Peter is saying here, just as each one has a gift or received a gift, minister it one to another. You have a gift, and it is absolutely of utmost importance that you discover what that gift is and begin to learn how to flow in that. Thank you for that. underwhelming response. Now, why is it important that we understand? You know, there's lots of other scriptures. If you're a note taker, you could look up Romans 12, verse 6. It says, having gifts then, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. In 1 Timothy, Paul admonished Timothy. He said, don't neglect the gift that is in you. So he had a gift. And so there's many other scriptures. So anyway, why is this so important that you understand that you have a gift? Well, see, I was taught that you shouldn't be saying that. And here's the impact that it had on my life. Because I didn't know that I had a gift, I didn't know whether I was supposed to be operating on it, and so I was waiting for God to do something. And that's the big problem. Too many believers are waiting for God almost to possess them, to take control of them. Slap them, you know, like a big hard slap. So that was you, God, wasn't it? I need to do something. And so that was me as well, you know. And so I was waiting, God, you're going to give me a prompt or something, hey? And we're waiting for God to do, and God's waiting for us. He said, I've given you the gift. And there's much more. There's so much more. You know, like, if you read, and we will get to it at a later date, if you read in chapter 14, there are regulations on the gifts. Says, you know, when you speak in tongues, let it be two or three, and even prophecy, let it be two or three. Now, why would you say that if it's only that God comes on you and you can do it? That's redundant. If you could only operate in the gifts of the Spirit when God decides, then there would be no need for him to say, let it be only two or three. In other words, people can minister in their gift anytime they want. And I'll show you this, you know, more as we go into it. And so that's why there's a regulation there. Look, just we need to keep order in the church and let it be only two or three at a time. And so on. So, but if you think that you don't have a gift, you're waiting for God to do something, and all the while God's waiting for you to do something and start moving, hey? And so, all right. Now the third phrase in that 1 Corinthians 12:7 says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is to profit all. It's to build up the body of Christ. That's why it's so important for us to move in them so we can build one another up. You have a gift that our church needs. And if you don't discover what it is and how to flow in it, then our church is poorer as a result of that. And so that's why we want to do that. So in God's word, it's in verse 7, it says, the evidence of the Spirit's presence is given to each person for the common good of everyone. So here the purpose is for the profit of all. But that's not the only reason, hey? Ultimately, the gifts of the Spirit, like everything else in life, the ultimate purpose of everything is to glorify God. We were made for His pleasure, for His glory, hey? And the more our lives begin to shine out and give glory to Him, the more we will enjoy the life that He designed for us to live. And so we need to understand. So that's another, that's the ultimate purpose, to glorify God. But also, it's important to understand that another purpose for the gifts of the Spirit is to enforce our victory. These are weapons of warfare. These are not tender little gifts in a little box. Oh, God. They are dynamic and dangerous, and they completely destroy the strongholds of the enemy. Things that the devil has worked in for years upon years upon years and grained in. You know, the devil ain't all that he tries to make people think that he is. He is a deceiver and he is a liar, and he has to work for years to try to get into a situation, and through the gifts of the Spirit, in one moment, we can destroy what he worked for 10, 20, 50 years trying to do. And I'm going to share with you stories as we talk about the different gifts of our people, you know, who had got bound up through one way or another, and the devil had held them at his mercy, and the gifts of the Spirit came into operation and just destroyed him. Hey, he's got nothing against this stuff, hey? And these are so powerful. So one of the purposes is, these are your weapons. And if you don't know what weapons you've got and how to use them, well, then you're just going to be having to try to cope. And that's not God's desire for you and me. Do I hear an amen? They become our battle axes, these gifts of the Spirit. They become our guns. Or like me, they become your rocket launcher. Hallelujah. So I want to talk just for a few minutes about the significance of the gifts. This is really important, you know. The gifts of the Spirit are not an optional extra. And if you think that they are, that's probably the reason why you rarely ever move in them. Because you think it's just an optional extra. Well, you know, I don't really need it. And you don't understand this is part of the weaponry that God has given you, hey? They are essential components for the life and the call that God has for you and I, hey? Regardless of whether you're called into ministry or called into work in a certain place or called to use a natural gift that you have, these are essential things that you will need, hey? But as long as you see it as an optional extra, you will be limited in how far you'll go down this track. But when you begin to see, God, this is a necessity, this is absolutely necessary. I mean, look at the last verse in 1 Corinthians 12. It says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. And we'll talk about this at greater length on a number of occasions over the next few weeks. That word, in the King James, has anybody got a King James? What does it say? Covet. If you read the Ten Commandments, it says, you shall not covet. This is the only time where God gives us permission to covet, to earnestly desire, to burn with a zeal. That's literally what the word means. It's the Greek word zelo, from which we get zealousness. To burn with a passion, to desire it. He's saying, earnestly desire, covet it. You're not allowed to covet anything. You shouldn't be coveting your neighbor's car or house. You shouldn't be coveting someone else's job. You shouldn't be coveting someone else's money. We should not be coveting someone else's partner. We shouldn't be coveting anything. Except, here it says, covet. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. What am I trying to say with that? It's not an optional extra. If you're burning with a passion for something, you're seeing it. You know, like let's say you've got a desire that you really, really want to see fulfilled in your life, and you're burning with a passion for it. You don't see that as, well, you know, well, God, you know, I guess if you give it to me, that's awesome. But if you don't, that's all right. No, when you have a passion for something, it's like, no, this is what I want. This is what I want. And for the child of God, the thing that we should be passionate about is desiring these gifts, eh? And our personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. Amen? So they're not optional extras, you know, and we need to understand that Jesus used and moved in the gifts of the Spirit, and he saw it as a necessity. In fact, he pointed out his claim to who he was. He pointed out the things that he did. Now, you can write these down. You don't need to look it up, but I'll tell you. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 to 6, it says, when John the Baptist was in prison and he heard about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and they said to Jesus, are you the coming one or do we look for another? So basically they were asking, are you really the Messiah? And this was important to John because his call was to make way for the coming of the Messiah. And he's in prison and he's aware that his ministry is coming to an end. He knows that probably it's not going to be too long. And in fact, it wasn't. It wasn't long after that he actually got beheaded. And he's in prison and he's having second thoughts, thinking, did I do what you wanted me to do, God? Was that man really the Lamb of God? Or have I missed it? I think that would be the most heartbreaking thing, you know, when I think about it, is to miss the call that God had. You don't want to miss that, eh? I don't care what the world promises you. You do not want to miss fulfilling what God has planned for you to do. That would be the most terrible thing. The eternal rewards, but also just to know the pleasure of God himself. To say, well done, good and faithful. So you did what I called you to do. And John was battling with that. He's thinking, and so he sent two of his disciples and he said to Jesus, are you really the coming one? Or do we need to look for another? And if we need to look for another, I better do something about this. I don't know how long I've got. And look at just listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered and he said to them, go and tell John the things that you see and you hear. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus was dependent on the gifts of the Spirit, and he was convinced the gifts of the Spirit were a confirmation of who he was. That's not the only place. In John chapter 5, in verse 36, he's speaking with the religious rulers, and he says, I've got a greater witness than John the Baptist. He said, the works which the Father have given me to finish, the very works that I do, they bear witness of me. And then he said it again in John chapter 10, verse 37, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. He didn't see the gifts as an optional extra. He saw them as an absolute necessity and something that proved who he really was. And we need to come to that place. We are sons of God. Amen. And part of our divine authorship, part of who we are, is the gifts of the Spirit that'll flow in our life. The people will look at us and go, man, there's just something supernatural about you. And you can look at them and just go, yeah, you bet there is. Because you know who you are in Christ. The early church relied heavily on the gifts of the Spirit. Hey, in Hebrews chapter 2, I'll just read this out to you. It says, if the word that was spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. What's Paul saying in Hebrews? He's saying, like, God confirmed everything we said. He confirmed it with signs and wonders and miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, if Jesus saw it as essential, and if the apostles saw it as essential, it is the absolute height of arrogance for anybody to say, you know, I don't need them. Is your ministry a higher order than that of Jesus? We need to understand that God has given us these as weapons, and we need to change the way we think. And that was one of the big things I had to change in my own life. And stop seeing it as an optional extra and start seeing it as, no, God, you want me to minister, and I need to minister in this. And the more I began to do that, the more it began to open up to me. Hey. Hallelujah. So there's lots of other scriptures. I'll just take you to one. Have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. While you're turning there, you know, even in Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, these signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And it says how the disciples went everywhere preaching, and it says, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. God wants to confirm, when you begin to share about Jesus, he wants to confirm that through the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, give me an oi of you there. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Notice he says, my speech was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit. Paul saw it was absolutely necessary for him, yes, to preach, but also to demonstrate, so that people understood this is not just some theory in a book. This is real life, and God is here in our midst, hey? In fact, in 1 Corinthians 4, he says, the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. I remember T.L. Osborne, when he, early in his ministry, he and his wife had a real call to go and minister in India, and they went. And It was just a barren time. They were there for 6 months and they saw nothing happen. He preached his heart out. He shared the gospel. He shared his faith with many people, but no one responded. And it was typified by one encounter he had with a Muslim guy. And T.L. Osborne was sharing with him about Jesus and how he was the only way. And the Muslim said to him, "Well, where do you get this from?" And T.L. Osborne was excited and he said, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which men shall be saved. That's where I get it from. The Bible says it's only through the name of Jesus that you can receive salvation. And the Muslim man looked at him and he said, "Well, I've got a black book too. It's called the Quran." He goes, what makes your holy book better than my holy book?" And he had nothing. He's thinking, what do I say to that? And so he and his wife, they returned back to the United States and they were demoralized. They just felt so defeated, like, oh, man. And it was when they came back to the States that he had a series of encounters with God, and God began to teach him about the gifts of the Spirit and the importance of moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can just Google T.L. Osborne. He was known as the father of the open air meeting. Hey. He just could not fit people in buildings. That he would just find the biggest open field he could find, and they would just set up and just begin to preach. And I don't know how many nations he preached in. It would have been over 100, I imagine. So millions and millions of people come to Christ. The difference was, from the first time to the second time, his message hadn't changed. He just understood the place of the gifts. And so he was able to demonstrate what he was saying, and people understood, okay, that is a holy book, and it's different than my holy book. I'm going to listen to that one. Yeah, that's why Reinhard Bonnke has been so effective in Africa. He goes, there's open doors into Muslim nations, and it's like they can't argue with this. People that want to kill him, but there are Muslims that are coming to Christ by the millions because there are things that Jesus has done for them through the operation of the gifts of the Spirit that Islam never ever did for them. And they just realize, wow, this is it. This is real. This is tangible. There's demonstrations here. And I'm seeing it happen. So what are the prerequisites of moving in the gifts of the Spirit? Well, you need to be a believer. And I know I'm talking to believers here. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the doorway into the gifts of the Spirit. If you struggle with speaking in tongues, you will struggle moving into the gifts of the Spirit. You know, if you get embarrassed about it, you need to work on that, hey? It takes faith to move in the gifts of the Spirit. You're not going to just have God come all over you and just all of a sudden. I mean, that might happen from time to time. And I know that has happened to me. There's just been like a holy boldness that's come. But a lot of times it's just like, God, are you sure about this? But it's just stepping out. And if you can't speak in tongues and be unashamed, you aren't going to move by faith. It takes faith. And so develop in tongues if that's an issue for you, hey? And if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's no way you'll move in the gifts of the Spirit. So that's a prerequisite, hey? And the more fluent you get in tongues, because speaking in tongues requires faith, you just begin to learn, you know, like how to flow in the Spirit. And then it's not a difficult step then to take the next step and the next step, because it's just like, hey, I do this already, you know. I'm already flowing in the Spirit. What's the next step, God? And you can take it. Hallelujah. So there are three categories of gifts. Now we're coming to the end of what I want to share about. So verse 8, if you look at verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So there are 9 gifts, and they actually fall quite naturally into 3 categories. So there are 3 categories of gifts. There are 3 gifts that say something. They're called the utterance gifts because they speak. Some people call them the inspirational gifts. And those gifts are prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Then there are 3 gifts that do something. They're known as the power gifts. And they're a supernatural ability or energy that there's no way you possess naturally yourself. And those power gifts, the three gifts, are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. And then there are three gifts that reveal something. They're called the revelational gifts. And they will bring certain facts to your attention that there is no human way you could have ever known. And those three revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. When Joy saw with the discerning of spirits the Holy Spirit, there's no way. I was there. I couldn't see him. But when you move in the gifts, the discerning of spirits is a revelation gift. It opens your eyes into the activity of the spiritual realm. And so when you move there, you can see what's going on. Something that you couldn't do on your own. So three that say something, three that do something, and three that reveal something. And we're going to look at them in much more detail in the weeks to come. Let me just finish with a couple of final things, and then we'll wrap up. Hey, there was a question I remember I had as I began to learn about the gifts of the Spirit, and certainly as I began to taste what it was like to move in it. I remember I had a question, and the question was, these gifts of the Spirit are so amazing. Why don't we just have a whole services where we just move in the gifts of the Spirit? Let's just not waste time. Let's cut out all the talk and let's just see some action and just demonstrations. And I remember that was something that naturally came to my mind as I began to experience moving in them, And the Lord had to correct me about that. He said, no, there are greater gifts than the gifts of the Spirit. These are essential and important. But the Word of God is a hugely, fundamentally important gift. I'm not trying to diminish the gifts, but bear with me and I'll give you an idea. Let's say, for example, Phil was in need. There was something he was confused about. He was stuck in a certain area. Well, actually, earlier this year, it was like he was praying about getting another vehicle, and he was kind of like hitting this wall. He just wasn't sure. He's kind of thinking, God, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to be out of your time and stuff, and he was praying. Anyway, he came to talk with Joy and I, and straight away, as soon as he said it, we just had a witness in our heart. We said, Phil, you're hearing from God. Go. Do it. And he just got an amazing deal, that even other salesmen, when they looked at it, they said, man, we can't even come near to matching that. How do you get that? You sure that's what they're telling you you're going to get, and stuff. So let's say that we were ministering in a church service to Phil, and we did that. And then we ministered to someone else, and we did what they, and we began to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, that's wonderful for Phil, and it might be wonderful for the next person. But then the rest of the church isn't benefiting. It's not like, everybody's sitting there going, well, yeah, what about me, mate? But it's just like there needs to be priorities. God wants us to move in the gifts of the Spirit, but he wants everybody to be blessed and to be profited. And there are things that I can do, for example, with the gift of teaching that I have, that can bless many, many people. Whereas the gifts of the Spirit will work one-on-one or a couple at a time. And things. I mean, sometimes I might get a prophetic utterance and it's for several people, and that's good. So it's important. We're not cutting out the gifts of the Spirit, but just to understand, there will be times that we will probably, and particularly I'm believing, as you learn and identify what gifts you have and begin to flow in, I believe there will be times where we will just cancel the preaching and just move and minister one to another. But I believe that will be the exception rather than the norm. I remember I went to a Rodney Howard Brown meeting one time. Anybody ever went to a Rodney Howard Brown meeting? People laughing and rolling on the floor. It never touched me. I was happy for them, but it never touched me. And so I'm sitting there and everybody's laughing, and there was three nights in a row. And after the first night, I'm going, okay, come on, can we do? That's great. I'm glad these guys are laughing. And Rodney Howard Brown began to minister the word. I was benefiting from that. If he didn't minister the word and everybody just rolled on the floor laughing, I just would have been sitting there thinking, all right, what time are we going? Not that I wasn't despising anyone. I know Joy got touched immensely. Man, she was laughing so hard. Came home. She laughed for days. She laughed in her sleep. I know, because like she'd be lying next to me and she's snoring. She'd go, and then she'd fall asleep again. And that's a wonderful thing, but we want to be able to be a blessing to the entire body. Amen? And so, yeah, there will be times where we will move in the gifts of the Spirit, and maybe we'll just cancel what we're normally planned because it's just like, hey, God's just doing something awesome. But most of the time, I believe that we will have the ministry of the Word where people can be equipped and learn, and then we'll have some demonstrations of it as well. Hey, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, look, I might just leave it there, hey, because there's more that I have to share, but I'll share it. We've got a few weeks where we're going to be talking about this and stuff. Let's stand up, hey? Thank you, Lord. I really just wanted to just lay a foundation and begin to dismantle some strongholds in people's minds for you to understand God wants this in your life. He's already given it to you as a believer. And yeah, and then he wants you to then begin to activate it as you begin to move out. Hey, and you might not know what gift you have right now, but as we learn how to activate them, I'm sure that you'll begin to function in it. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Spirit for a moment. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for revelation that comes to us. We thank you that you're bringing our whole church into new dimensions with you, Lord God, where we will just see manifestations of your presence in great ways, in wonderful ways, Lord God, and the entire body will be built up. I just want you to make a confession after me. We're just going to set our faith in motion that we're going to receive all that God has for us. So just say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given me at least one spiritual gift. And with you as my helper, I will identify what that is and begin to flow in it. I open myself right now to you, Holy Spirit. Use me in all the gifts. Help me to flow in the greater gifts. And help me to build confidence to cooperate with you so that others can be blessed, they can be built up, they can be exhorted, they can be comforted, and we can see the powers of darkness broken in people's lives. Lord, I receive that by faith right now in Jesus' name, and I give you all the glory. Amen. Give him thanks and praise. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.